Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living, so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure, and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around, my friends. There's a lot of bad news out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become a light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom. Not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. Oh, yes, and we got a good one today. What do you say? We just get right on into it. We are hearing from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to His disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is. There's a whole lot here. Grab the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, and you hang out. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today, we pick up exactly where we left off last week. We are in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. We are in the middle of what is called a continuous reading in the Last Supper Discourse, which puts us in the upper room on a Thursday night, the eve of His Passion. So Jesus is with His disciples, and He is giving His final instructions. He will soon be betrayed by Judas, arrested, tried in the middle of the night by the Sanhedrin, by the way, illegally, found guilty, brought before Pilate, scourged to the point of near death, and then nailed on a cross to die. And of course, Jesus sees it coming. He knows it's coming, so this is it. Now, I want you to try to put yourself into the situation. Try to imagine that you're about ready to die, and you know it. So you gather your family and your friends around to talk to them before you cross over. Let me ask you a question, my friend. What would you talk about? Would you talk about the weather? Would you talk about the game? Would you talk about finances? Or one of the million other things that swim around in our head on a daily basis? I don't think so. I doubt it. I imagine if we were standing at the doorway of death, we would want to talk about the most important of things, which is exactly where we find Jesus today, staring into His immediate future, seeing His death. He is now gathering His disciples, which, by the way, are you and me, And he's talking about the most important of things. Final instructions as to how to be a human being. Essentially, a blueprint as to how we should live. Now, as I had mentioned some time back, the cross itself is a reflection of relationships. The vertical beam represents our relationship with God. I find communion with God one-on-one through His Holy Spirit, prayer, and meditation. Now, the second beam, the horizontal beam, represents my relationship with other people because I find God in you and you find God through me. At least hopefully that's how it's supposed to work. Now, last week we were talking all about I'm the vine, you are the branches. So Jesus was clearly talking about that vertical beam, our relationship with God. This week Jesus is turning his attention to the horizontal beam, which is our relationship with others. And he says, "This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you." So what exactly does that mean? I guess it seems to suggest that as the Father loves me, which by the way is a lot, I'm called to love other people with that same love. Or I suppose you could flip it around and say, as I love others is how the Father loves me, which seems to echo the Lord's Prayer. Remember, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, which clearly seems to indicate that I am forgiven as I forgive others. So once again, let's get back to this. This is my commandment, love one another as I've loved you. How do we do that? What exactly does that mean? Well, I guess it starts with the question with how does Jesus love us? Fortunately, we don't have to look too far for the answer because he tells us. He says to his disciples, as the Father loves me, so also I love you. So now the question becomes, how does the Father love? Well, we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall never die, but have eternal life. I mean, everybody knows that one, right? That's the most famous scripture in the whole Bible, John 3:16. But what many people don't know, or at least choose to ignore, is the verse that immediately precedes John 3:16, which of course will be John 3:15. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life, which is an obvious reference to the cross. So how God loves us and how God loves the world is the cross, followed by the tomb, followed by the resurrection. So this is how God so loved the world. God so loved the world through the death of his Son. Why? Because through that death, God eviscerated the power of death, the power of Satan, and the power of sin, which is a good thing given the fact that we're all sinners in need of saving. So when Jesus walked out of the tomb on that Easter Sunday morning, put his boot heel on the neck of death and said, "Oh, death, you lose. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, death, you are defeated." That is how God so loved the world. And this is how God loves us. Now, when you're talking about that kind of love, it's not that Hollywood fuzzy-wuzzy kind of love that we normally associate with the word love. You know, I love you. No, it's a love of sacrifice. It's a love of total self-donation, a pouring out. It's a divine love. The Greeks call it agape. It's a love that runs counter to the love of this world, which is, of course, focused on self. It's a love that turns off the me channel and considers the needs of other people. And this is the love that we are called to show to this world. And this is how they will know we are his disciples. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so also I love you." But he goes on to say, "Remain in my love," often translated as "abide in my love." And I love that word, abide. That's an interesting word, abide. That's an important word, abide. Abide is the hinge upon which the door of eternity swings, with death on one side and eternal life on the other. And I'm not talking about eternal life like life after death in heaven, you know, on the clouds playing harps. I'm talking about life today, right here, right now, where you will be in the middle of everything God is doing. That is abiding. Webster defines abiding, or today it's Google, right? Defines abiding as to endure without yielding, to withstand. Another definition for abide is to wait for. Have you ever been waiting for somebody? You're sitting in your chair, you're kind of looking at the door, you're waiting on somebody. That's abiding. And Jesus tells us, because he's telling his disciples, he's saying, I want you to abide in my love. So again, how do we do that? How exactly do we abide? Well, the good news about the good news is that Jesus doesn't leave us guessing on this question. He gives us directions. If you keep my commandments, you will remain or abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain or abide in his love. So abiding in his love or remaining in his love is tied to obedience. And I can just see the eyes roll. Oh, no, Father, see, hold on there, Sparky. Oh, obedience? Really? We don't like that word. Obedience, that's kind of a cold, prickly word. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. You're not the boss of me. Is there any other way? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, of course, when I think of that word commandment, I think of, well, the Ten Commandments. And I suppose that's a good place to start. Maybe you know the Ten Commandments by heart. Maybe you don't. Fortunately for us, Jesus has given us the Cliff Notes. When asked, what was the greatest commandment in all the law? Now, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about Mosaic law here. There's 613 of those. Jesus, without hesitating, to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And if that's too much to remember, my friend, he breaks it down even further today when he says, this is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Once again, what does that look like? How do we do that? Well, in a word, it looks like service. It looks like service to other people. We see this demonstrated in the foot washing just a couple of chapters before our gospel today. Service to other people, getting out of our own head, considering the other, loving one another as Jesus has loved us. Again, how do I do that? How do I move from, well, belief and my own self-love to divine love? How do I move from believing in Jesus, having great love for Jesus, being a fan of Jesus, to abiding with Jesus every day? Well, that's a big question. It's a question that deserves an answer. And you hang out, we'll be right back, and we'll give you that answer here as we continue to consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we had asked a question, and it's an important question. How do we move from simply believing in Jesus to abiding in Jesus? You know, I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And back in 1993, our town was awarded a new franchise in the National Football League called the Carolina Panthers. And of course, this was a very big deal. We were all very excited. Soon a new stadium was built downtown, and we all went out and bought Carolina Panther jerseys. In time, season tickets went on sale, and my father bought four seats right on a 50-yard line, just behind the hometown bench. We were really low. It was great. We were so close that I felt like at any time the coach could turn around and ask our opinion on a play. Of course, he never did, but it was fantastic. And we went to all the home games. And I would wear my Panther jersey, and I would cheer for my team. But as much as I love the Panthers, and I do, as I sat in the bleachers wearing my Panther jersey, cheering my team on, let me ask you a question. Did that make me a Panther? Of course not. Why? Because to be a Panther requires a whole lot more than simply sitting in the bleachers. You got to be on the field. You got to be in the game. And that requires being under the obedience of the coach. And let me tell you, that guy's got a whole lot of commandments. But I seriously doubt any of those Panthers were out on the field grumbling to themselves, you know, I can't stand these commandments. I just want to be me. You know, I want to do what I want to do. I want to be free. I mean, I seriously doubt that. Why? Because they love the game. And the success of their team depends on everybody keeping the commandments and acting as a cohesive unit. And since they love the game of football, and since they've trained their whole life to be where they are today, they have great love for their team. Consequently, they do not find it a burden to be under the obedience of the coach. They do not find the rules of the game to be confining, because it's how they get to play the game they love. And that, my friend, is the difference between believing in Jesus and abiding in Jesus. Because you can believe in Jesus all day long. You can have great love for Jesus. You can be a fan. You can wear his jersey as you wave the flag of Christianity. But if you ain't loving others as he loved you, you, my friend, are in the bleachers. But if you abide in his love and take the light of that love and shine it into the darkness of your world, that puts you into the game. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. Keep my commandments. My friend, maybe the evil one has been whispering in your ear when it comes to your habitual sin. Maybe he's whispering, oh, no, you don't want to give that up. You're going to miss it. You're not going to have as much fun. And, you know, it ain't no big deal. Nobody's look is not like you killed anybody. Jesus is just trying to steal your joy. Don't listen to him. He is the father of lies. For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to me hears my voice. My friend, hear me when I say, Satan desperately wants you to keep you away from that truth. He wants to keep you away from a truth that will set you free, a truth that will bring you joy. And that's it. That is it, my friend. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Why is Jesus so hung up on this obedience thing? I'll tell you why. One word, joy. Jesus wants to fill you with joy. Of course, a lot of people confuse that word joy with its cousin, happiness. But let me tell you, they're very different. Happiness is an emotion that is rooted in external circumstances. And since external circumstances are always in a state of flux, always in a state of change. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness is fleeting. But joy, that's totally different. Joy is much more permanent because you see, joy is a state of being that is rooted in internal circumstances, not external, internal. So joy is not based on the passing things of this world. Therefore, it is internal and eternal. So I guess what I'm trying to say in a rather long way is that joy, rather than being rooted in what's going on around you at the time, is rooted in who you are. And this is what Jesus means when he says, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives it to you." Why? Because it's a peace that goes beyond all human understanding. And I've seen it. I have seen this peace as a priest. I've seen it up close and personal, a faith-filled Christian who, even though they might be going through a difficult time, even though they might be tossed in the waves of their circumstance, even though they might be going through a huge storm all the way up to death, even in that, they maintain this quiet serenity. It's a peace. It's hard to describe. It's almost like it's a glint in the eye that says, you know, even though I'm going through all this, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Like I said, I've seen it. I have seen it. And this is what Jesus wants for you. It is grace. Not surprisingly, the word grace in Greek and the word for joy in Greek are very similar. The Greek word for joy is hara, and the Greek word for grace is charis. They're very much connected, grace and joy. You cannot manufacture your own joy. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is God-given. This is the joy of Jesus. This is his grace, and this is what he is offering to you today. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound like something you would want? I mean, I would want it. I would think we would all want it. So how do we get this grace? How do we get this joy? If you keep my commandments, you will remain, abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So we know that to keep his commandments, we must remain or abide in his love, which it's not so much about what you believe in, but rather who you are. Psychologists talk about this. They refer to it as somebody's identity. They call it somebody's mirror. When you look into a mirror, who's looking back at you? Some of us might look into the mirror and see great success. Some of us might look into the mirror and see great failure. However we see ourselves, that is our identity. This is our mirror. So let me ask you a question. What if the next time you looked into a mirror, rather than focusing in on all the imperfections, you said out loud, "I am the one that Jesus loves." And as our scripture tells us today, I didn't choose him. He chose me. Something you might consider doing, my friend. Once upon a time, there was an old man at dinner. Many others were at the table, and when the food came, he bowed his head in prayer. Everybody got real quiet, watching him. He seemed to be lost within himself, totally alone. And after what seemed like a long time, he blessed himself, finished, and they began to eat. Soon, one of the others at table remarked, "Well, you must be very close to God." And the old man looked up, paused for a moment, said, "Yes, he's very fond of me." And he is. He's very fond of you. How do we abide? We realize that God is very fond of us. God loves us so much. And then he takes that love, the Christian, and loves this world with that same love. And let me tell you something, if you are harboring hate in your heart today, if you are filled with resentments, if you are so committed to your success in this mammon world that you're rolling over other people, taking advantage of other people, well, you can believe all day. But you're in the bleachers, my friend. You are in the bleachers. But if you stare into the mirror and say, I am a child of God and Jesus loves me, and then go out into this world with that love and shine the light of that love in this darkness, well, my friend, that pulls you out of the bleachers and puts you in the game. And what is the game? This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And how did he love us? Well, he hung on a cross and died for us. That's how he loved us. He gave himself completely for us. He poured himself out. Let us empty ourselves so that we can be present to the other. Let us love one another with the love that Jesus has shown us. Only then will we love the way we are called to love. And only then will we come out of the bleachers and get into the game. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
If you enjoyed what you heard today, consider Daily Living with Father Chapin in book form. Every homily for a year following the Gospel of Matthew. Available today in paperback, hardcover, or Kindle ebook download at Amazon. Daily Living with Father Chapin. Reflections on the Gospel of Matthew.